Three, two, one.
Much better. Here we go.
Welcome to the pod. Welcome to the pod.
What's up, everybody? This is the Quad with Chris Young.
Too hard.
Brought to you by AARP.
Yeah, good God. As always, I'm Chris. We get Haley the Bear.
Hello.
Producer Josh.
Our presenting sponsor, Bayer and AARP.
Bayer?
It's Bayer. 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 Bayer's the microphone that's spelled the exact same way. Yes, it is. Bayer.
Oh, God.
Not to be confused with
Bear. That Bear. Different Bear. We're missing Ryan this week, just based off of everybody's travel schedules, but we didn't want to go another week without giving you guys the podcast that you deserve, straight to the people. Also, I just have to say, really, really exciting news. The album is finally out.
Hey!
If you have somehow missed that, definitely go stream that. Buy it, download it, listen to it, enjoy it.
Stream it over and over and over and over.
Over and over and over and over and over and over. And
you'll want to anyways because it's that good, but do it.
Well, I'm very, very pumped to have it out there finally. And thank you guys so much for all the love and support on the record. Thank you to everybody out in Cali that was out this past weekend. I want to say thank you especially to you guys because even on the one really big show that we did, I had to sit in a chair because I threw my back out working out. Hence the AARP joke from Josh.
Life comes at you quick, Chris.
Comes at you fast.
There was a great gym workout, and then it just hit him later, and it was just not good.
Not my optimal performance mode this weekend, but we played all the shows, played a bunch of new songs, played a bunch of old songs, had a good time, and you guys showed up and showed out for sure. So very huge thanks to Cali, and huge thank you again to Australia for the week before. I've been really blessed with great shows the past couple weeks, so pretty amazing. Outside of the fact that, dude, why in the hell is California so cold right now?
It was freezing.
Everywhere was cold. I was in
My lips got so chapped that this one split. I started having to put like chapstick on it.
It was 11 degrees in North Dakota when I was there this
weekend. Good God. You know what? Let's dive right into that since we don't have Ryan for the poll this week.
Look who's
on the ball.
It's as if, I don't know, you can just look it up ahead of time and have it ready when that part of the show pops up.
All right, Josh, give us the answer to the
We at the Quad love polls. You can vote on our polls on X at the Quad with CY. This week's poll was best Saturday Night Live cast member of all time. In absolute last place was Kenan Thompson.
Rude. Show that man respect.
Look, he's been on the show for a long time, but
he's still great.
I still know him more so from All That, if we're going to be honest.
Not even Good Burger.
Not even Good. Well, that's still, it's an offshoot of All That.
Sort of, yeah.
It was a close one between Eddie Murphy and Adam Sandler, with Eddie Murphy just edging it out with 42% of the votes to Adam Sandler's 37.
Yes, I am vindicated. Love it. Love to see it.
So there you go. Every week.
Love to see the downfall of my enemies.
For those, someone's keeping track of the all-time wins, but I think you still have it by at least like 7 or 8 wins at this
point.
Yeah,
I think so. I think I do. Let's go to music.
Music.
I might as well say it here since I said it on stage. El King sucks.
Oh, yeah. You were all about that last night.
Do tell.
No, she just sucks. That's it.
There's a history there.
She called me an asshole, so I feel like me saying she sucks is the lighter of the two things.
The two verbs?
Yeah. She called me an asshole to try and sell her record, so I figure I might as well say she sucks to sell mine.
This is like a Biggie Tupac East Coast, West Coast situation.
No, it's not. She's going to need to catch up. Mustard. Anyway.
We're getting salty this year. Let's go.
Yeah, we're getting salty this year. She's just a mean human being. She's a butthole. She said a whole bunch of stuff off camera that nobody knows about, and then she called me the asshole. You know, I've been very PC and held my tongue for a very long time, so I don't feel bad about that one.
He's been waiting.
Young Love and Saturday Nights, top 25, thanks to you guys. We'll go to the happy stuff. Thank you very, very much for supporting this song, showing it love. It took a little while to get going, but now it is screaming up the charts, and very excited about that. Coinciding with the release of an album is always a good time for that to happen. You guys have been showing a lot of love for What She Sees in Me, which is another one of my favorite songs on that record. 18 tracks on this new album. And very, very happy that they are all out there. Finally, for you guys to listen to, because I know I've teased a lot of stuff on this show, if you guys are avid fans of the Quad,
which may sound like complete dead air at this point if you're listening.
Yeah, they might have taken them down now, which that just the whole thing about that sort of weirds me out.
They also took down your show intro that you played on here.
Oh, are you serious?
Yeah, which shouldn't be flagged at all.
Are you talking about the Double Down opener?
Yeah.
What?
Yeah,
I own that.
I know, and it's not anywhere that it would have like set off a AI bot to. It's really weird.
Oh, we're going to have a talking to about that one. That's a work for hire.
For sure. I think at this point, Spotify probably has an AI machine that just detects
AI
music.
Terrifies me, man. Yep. Somebody played me a song the other day that they didn't even write a melody for. They input keywords to be like bro country, male singer, up tempo, and they put in the lyrics and it created a song. And if they'd been better at manufacturing
the keywords,
the actual tuning part, if they'd done it in Melodyne and like drawn it, I would never have known anything was wrong. I was like, man, that sounds like the tuner's hitting that really hard. And they're like, you want to hear the funny part? And I'm like, what? And they're like, that's not a real person singing. It's all AI.
That's so weird. I don't like it.
It's
iRobot coming in hot soon.
It's getting creepy.
Will Smith, where you at?
I mean, she's not that wrong. I would love to say that she's wrong about that, but it's not that far off at this point. Me and a couple buddies have had conversations about it where it's like, man, it's starting to get creepy.
It is. Well, Tennessee enacted the Elvis Act last week to protect artists' voices from AI misuse. So Tennessee at the forefront of trying to stop Skynet from taking over the airwaves, which is all right, just headed.
Sorry, I had somebody text me while I was doing that. Say that again.
The Elvis Act, which is the
Elvis Act.
Ensuring Likeness, Voice, and Image Security Act, which is a great... It's also great because there's a lot of Elvis impersonators. Yeah. Really smart.
I like it.
Updates the state's protection of personal rights that say an individual's name, photograph, or likeness, so all the NIL stuff that college kids are getting to get money for, is protected by an artist's use and blocked by AI misuse.
Nice.
So they can't impersonate you.
Well, because here's the thing. What a lot of people don't realize about AI is they can take... 3 or 4 performances of my vocal, download it into an AI software, and it will mimic my vocal.
Including runs at the end of lines, etc. I mean, it's...
And then put it out as if it was me.
Correct. So this legislature blocks that from being from happening. Now, are there programs that happen where people could import your voice to sing over their demo? It sure can.
Yep.
But you cannot release that or make money off of it as currently stated in Tennessee.
Well, shout out to Tennessee for doing something right. Now just fix your ABC program and we'll be good.
Yes. Just
priorities, I guess. I don't know.
Oh, man. Why am I so salty today? I don't know. Is it because my back hurts?
It's definitely because your back hurts.
Oh, man. By the way, evidently you had some craziness this weekend with load-ins. Do you want to talk about that a little bit, or do you want to stay away from
it? No, it's fine. There were incredible shows in both Duluth, Minnesota and Grand Forks, North Dakota. Awesome areas. The crowds were super rowdy. That being said, those arenas are not set up for concert promotions, and there are no docks, which means you get one truck in at a time, and then you have to forklift all your gear off the truck. And so loadouts in, say, snow and 11-degree weather take a little bit longer than you would like.
A little painful.
And
hey, by the way, I've played both of those places.
They're great.
I feel your pain.
Yeah, they're great.
Yeah.
And shout out North Dakota. Their gym situation at the University of North Dakota there.
A1.
I don't understand how much money they have at that school. Like, it does not, the finances, someone,
does not compute.
If someone lives there or works for that, please let me know, because that was the most, like, top of the line. They had a high altitude room with, like, oxygen deprivation. They had, everything was brand in North Dakota. It was really impressive. Major ups to you guys. The shows were wonderful, but it was cold. And where I sit, stage left, that was right by where the dock or lack thereof was. So that when they would open it, like when Brett Young was loading out, I would get a burst of cold air while I'm sitting there.
Nice. Exactly what you want every time.
So super fun for me. But these are first world problems. I don't have real problems. I have lowercase problems. So it's all good.
There was a dog at yesterday's show that was amazing, and his name was Brute. And it was really cold too there, but the dog made everything better. He walked out on stage and just chilled there.
He just sat down.
We've had puppy rooms the last two runs. Incredible.
Yeah. Everybody wonders why I miss my dog when I can't bring him.
Yep.
Well, you saying all He's dogs awesome. Go to heaven. On top of that, there was a couple sitting in the front row with their big ass dog, and they just were bawling their eyes out the entire time you were singing.
Great. My singing made someone cry. That's what you always want
to
hear.
You sing all dogs go to heaven.
I mean.
And they had their dog right in front of them.
What did you think was going to happen with that song?
That's fair. That's fair. All right.
Like pyro during the show? Like, what do you think?
Yes.
What do you think
is? Yes, Josh. Yes, more pyro.
I don't think they're going to heaven at that point. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I don't think the winery would have liked setting their vineyard that fire.
Yikes. All right. Well, let's go to what are you listening to? And
I can go. Okay.
It's about time.
In a minute.
Is the album. No, not that. This is from 1992 R&B/soul. SWV Week.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Throwing you a curveball this week.
Didn't see that one coming, I got to be honest.
Yeah.
This week I'm going with Benson Boone, Beautiful Things. Another one of those that I came across TikTok, but it's a mainstream song, so... I'm pretty sure a lot of you have actually heard it.
Yeah, he's blowing up right now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a great song.
Mine is even older than yours, Chris. It's Rock and Roll by Led Zeppelin. But here's why. I saw a video where Danny Carey from Tool explains the drum count at the beginning of Rock and Roll, which always sounded like it was out of time.
Yeah.
And he explains how Bonham is counting it. And now that I know it, it's the easiest thing and makes perfect sense. It's the nerdiest music thing I've ever experienced. But once you hear it.
So there's something sort of like that. And if anybody knows, this channel's been up for a long, long time. But Epic Rap Battles of History. There's one of those where it starts on like an offbeat. And you're like, "What? Is it wrong?" And then you hear like the second half of the first verse where he locks in and you're like, oh,
then you find,
oh,
you
that's
find
where
the
downbeat is.
Yeah, you find the pocket after that.
It stuff like that always weirds me out. It's like counting in 5/4.
Sure. It just keeps flipping over on itself. So
exactly.
if you don't know where you're starting, you're like, because rock and roll starts with the drums, like, got it. But what he's really doing is going, and a one, and a two, and a one, two, one, two, three, four. Yeah. And once you know that,
then you hear it every time.
You hear it every, I just like jaw open and I ran to every person in the band. I was like, have you seen this?
I've unlocked the key of time.
These are the things I get excited about, guys.
We're nerds. It's fine. Don't worry about it. All right, let's go to sports.
Sports!
Josh. One day you will label these buttons.
I will never label these buttons.
One day you will label these buttons.
4 years later.
Yeah, almost.
It is job security that I do not label these buttons.
I know which ones they are.
Yeah, but can you hit it in a moment's notice if someone else cues it?
That's a good point. Really, we just have to talk about college basketball. And then also I'd like to touch on, maybe we start with MLB and we start with the Shohei Ohtani thing.
That poor guy, if his...
Well, okay, so we're taking him at his word, right?
We have to.
The guy had access to his account and withdrew $4.5 million.
Yes.
And sent it to a bookie.
That is the story as it has been explained to all of us.
Like not a DraftKings, not an account that you can actually use legally.
Well, they can't use legally, but we can use legally. But an actual bookie, someone that is tied to organized gambling.
Yes.
Correct. Do you think that is the actual story?
I mean, I'm hesitant because I haven't seen him do anything else, and the amount of money he has at his disposal. As bad as this sounds, someone withdrawing $4.5 million from you, I don't care if you have $100 million.
It's a lot.
That is life altering money. $4.5 million is life altering, mm-hmm. right?
Yes.
So even if it's 4.5 out of 100, that is a ridiculous amount of money for you to lose. I hope he gets it back. I hope that all of this is on the up and up. I hate that if it is, he got taken advantage of. I definitely think they need to investigate it, because if there's even a minute possibility that this is not how it looks on its face, it's a horrible, horrible thing for the MLB.
This is worse than Pete Rose.
Way worse. Now, do I believe Shohei Ohtani, and maybe I'm an idiot for saying this? I do, because I believe with the language barrier and with him having a guy that he trusted, may he have misplaced his trust into someone who would be willing to do something like that. I think that's a possibility.
It's a tale as old as time of someone on the inside taking advantage of someone with a lot of money. This he enters a long list of people that have been given the runaround by people in their close circle. So it's not unprecedented if this happened. But you nailed it. If there is any sort of inside or he was aware of any of this
at all,
not only is this like way worse than Pete Rose betting on games, but this could bring down the whole baseball and sports betting thing in general right now.
So, but do you think they will cover it up for that reason, even if there was a possibility that he knew?
I think if they were going to cover it up, they would have already
tried to do that
before this came out. So I think the only path is forward right now.
It's heavy, man. It's heavy. I saw that pop up and I was like, did they put the decimal in the wrong place?
Nope.
Does that say million? I was like,
with
excuse
an M?
Me?
I just want to know why, especially if Shohei had no idea this was going on. How do they think that they'll actually get away with something like that?
Well, I'm not a criminal, so I can't answer that perfectly, but I would say that if you're giving $4 million to a bookie, the idea is that you double your money and put the $4 million back and then no one saw it.
Right.
Is usually how these stories go.
A lot of people do this thing, and that's why when you sit down at a casino, all right, first of all, what's the gambling hotline?
1-800-BETS-OFF if you're in the United States. States, local laws apply.
Yeah. Don't do anything bad.
Must be 21 and older. DraftKings. There we go.
Yeah. That's why you see limits on even high limit tables. because what people would do is they would go in with a standard bet of, like, let's say $1,000. They're on a high limit table. The reason they cap those numbers is because if they lose $1,000, then they bet two to try and win it back. They lose two, they bet four. And they would do that up until they won and then kick their bet back down to $1,000 and try to win as many as possible at $1,000. So it's like a war of attrition. But obviously, casinos don't want to let you do that if you have just sort of inexhaustible wealth. And that could go for $1,000 to $100 to $1. They want to limit those tables to a certain amount so that you can't just keep doubling your bet to win back your losses.
To then start the clock over.
Yeah. And so that guy probably was like, I'm going to win a bunch of money and then I'll put this money back in his account and he'll never see it, that it was gone.
Just bet all $4 million on Kentucky in the
tournament. Oh, God.
Yeah. All right. Let's go to something a little happier, unless you're a Kentucky fan. Holy crap. By the way, that team had played out of their minds for the first two rounds because they took that. Was it double OT?
Yeah. Oakland was legit.
Yeah, they were legit. And I think you're seeing, and tell me if you think I'm wrong on this, both of you, I think you're seeing a trend now in college basketball, which is the teams that are full of seniors and people that have played for 4 years and didn't just try to jump to the NBA are now the teams that are winning, as opposed to what used to be the case of, you know, the super freshmen coming in that were going to go out after 1 year, going to someone like Calipari and having just an insane season. They're getting knocked out in the round of 64 or the round of 32.
Yeah. I mean, smaller markets are getting, excuse me, are getting the benefit.
Stabbing right there.
Yeah. Smaller markets are getting the benefit of consistency, playing with the same group of people. I mean, on a much, much smaller scale, like, this is the second season of my league team that plays on Tuesdays. And last season, we were like barely above 500. And this season, we've lost one game because we all know how to play with each other now. Mm-hmm. Play basketball with each other. And don't aggregate that.
Yikes.
So I just...
Hey, Monsell, just cut that clip out.
No,
for
it's
me
fine.
For later.
You don't have to do that. But that level of consistency matters. Knowing who's going to be where on the court at any given point matters. And people transferring out because they want to play. So now these massive teams like Kansas and Kentucky are losing in the second round pretty consistently now.
Speaking of women's basketball and being at the right place, Tennessee losing because they didn't play defense on the last...
The Lady Vols, by the way, not the men's team.
Yeah, well, I said...
She said women's.
I'm saying women's. Well. But I obviously, people highlighted on that, and I was like, and they were all set. Everyone's hugging and celebrating like they won because there was 3 seconds left, and then they missed their...
Both free throws.
Yeah, and then they turn around, and she shot a three-pointer, and no one even tried to move.
It was embarrassing.
I'm like, ooh, see, you play till the very end.
You play to win the game.
Unless it's like 100-15, then you play to the very last
even then, second. Even in those, I'm still yelling at my team to like get back, get your hands up, etc.
Yeah.
Which will make me a terror if I ever kids and coach them.
Yeah. Can I also say this? Like, as much as it seems like there was a bunch of upsets in the men's, the Sweet 16, the lowest seeded team, there's one 11 seed, and it's NC State.
Come on, Wolfpack.
They're not beating Marquette, dude.
I don't know. Here's the thing. I like teams that win their conference, and NC State won the ACC tournament. I like teams that do it. They believe. I believe.
Well, currently on our bracket, me and CY are tied at 55 with 440. Then it's followed by...
That is untrue. I have 470 on one of my brackets.
Okay, well, it's not showing up on mine.
Yeah.
But then also Ryan is there, and then I saw Glebe at 124.
I'm doing fine.
So here's the interesting thing. My bracket two, I'm at 470. My bracket one, I'm at 440. But the max is 1520, and the max on bracket two is 1710.
Yeah, I'm in my two. I did two picks. The pick that I have less points in right now, my max is 1660.
So yeah. What's your rank?
Well, I'm in the 93rd percentile.
No, but like in our
55, but it says like multiple people are 55.
Yeah, I'm 121. I'm not that far behind you.
Okay, yeah, we're 55. I believe Ryan's 50. He was in 4. Ryan is 86.
It's not my year.
And then right now, currently, let's go back to the number one page.
See, that's the interesting thing is it shows.
Whoever Newberry 7 picks 2 is currently sitting at number 1 with Joni, and they both have 530 points.
Collusion.
actually, I have a question.
And they both have North
because
Carolina.
It's not showing my second bracket in this group.
So you
disqualified.
So remember when I said that you have to add it to this group?
Yeah.
Did you add it?
I feel like this is something we could talk about offline.
Yeah.
All right. I'm joined successfully now, so it should be there.
Okay, cool.
Yeah.
But, so that is, doesn't look like either of us are going to win this bracket, but.
Well, I'm ranked 18th on my second bracket. So now look at it now that I've added it.
All right, I'll go.
And I've got a max of 1,710 points. So if everything breaks my way, I could still win.
My final four is still all in it, so I'm not. Feel okay.
There you go. See, that's everybody's looking at like right now, and they're like, "Oh, I'm above so and so," and I'm like, "Yeah, but your team's making it to the final four gone."
Congrats on your next like 30 points, and then
yeah,
that's it.
And then that's all you get. Yeah. That's all you have left. All right.
Do you have a winner that you think is going to actually take it after watching these?
I really believe in Purdue. I'm not going to lie, and I know that they got their ass handed to them last year. In the round of 64, the very first round.
I didn't pick them this year.
I think that sort of lit a fire in them to not do that again and to show what they can actually do. And here's the thing. They're big. They play good D.
They scored like 80% of their points in the paint. So
yeah.
Nick Pate really believes in Duke.
Nick Pate always believes in Duke.
He goes, if they're shooting like that the rest of the tournament, they're going to win.
Okay, whatever.
I like UConn. I like Gonzaga right now.
You know what? The one that I didn't pick that I think could win it, I completely agree with you, is Gonzaga. The Zags.
I still like
when I should have zagged.
I still like my two picks, Purdue and North Carolina.
We shall see. We shall see. All right, let's go to movies. Movies.
We should also say that Legarius Sneed was traded from the Chiefs to the Titans.
Oh, yeah, I meant to bring that up.
Who cares?
You wanted to keep him, didn't you?
I did. We had a great run over the last 4 years, 2 championships with Sneed. I will miss him greatly. He was the one that punched the ball out of Zay Flowers' hands at the goal line.
All right.
Saved our entire season.
Back to
the
movie.
He's still alive. It's not RIP. It's just
Code 8, 2019, action sci-fi, 1 hour and 38 minutes.
When you're in Nashville, like we can hang out and go get a meal or something.
81% on Rotten Tomatoes and a 48% on Metacritic. That's really weird that they'd be that disparate.
Who's Metacritic?
Metacritic is one of the other websites that does sort of the same thing as Rotten Tomatoes.
They mean nothing.
A desperate young man with special powers commits a series of petty crimes and is hunted by a militarized police force. That's the entire description.
Who decides what goes in the description?
I've seen descriptions of these movies that are like 2 pages long, and then that's what you get with this one. It's like,
a guy goes on a quest, and you're like, yeah. Oh,
Dungeons and Dragons, huh? Yeah, great.
Lord of the Rings?
Yeah. The Hobbit. Anyway. This movie is really, really great. I personally thought it was something special just because the ML Brothers championed this, and it's gotten a second movie on Netflix, which never happens, which means a lot of people watch the first one. And it took me a really long time to sit down and watch this. You have been crowing about how good this movie is for so long, Bear.
Years.
And I sort of treated it like the Ten Rings. I just didn't watch it. Finally sat down and watched it. I was like, oh, this is really good.
There's something to this.
Huh. And I really did like it. I thought it was a great movie. And, you know, is this an award-winning film of any kind? No, of course not. But is this a really great sit-down, have an hour and a half, watch an action film that actually has, like, significant character development throughout to it, and it's not just complete fluff? Yeah, and I enjoyed it.
I tried to watch it on the bus, and I fell asleep. And it's not because of the movie.
It's because you're on the bus.
It's because I was on the bus and loadout was really long, and yeah, that after show food started to kick in, and then all of a sudden I was sleepy. Yeah. I'm a bus snorer, unfortunately. For both Sean and Benji, who are in the bunks above and below me. Sorry, guys.
Oops.
So again, this I have before the movie even came out. We're talking years ago because I was always a huge Stephen Amell fan. Really big on Arrow. When I saw that him and Robbie were basically, I think it was a fundraiser, a whole actual project to get approved with like a mini series, like a mini film, and then lead into this film. It was a whole long process, and I followed on their Facebook page forever. And then it finally came out, and I was really excited, and I tried forever to get him to watch it. And I was like, it's something you'll really like. Like the robots that they drop from the planes, it's just really cool. And how the storyline with the powers, it's not your typical storyline that you would think it would fall in. So I was just really happy that you finally watched it. And there's a second one that I started, but I have not finished yet.
Code 9? What is the second?
Code 8, Part 2. They went the easy route and just named it Part 2, which I actually prefer.
I prefer the John Wick. Just 1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
Yeah,
whatever.
Perfect. Great. Okay.
Like, give me the Lamb Before Time. You know what I mean?
No, dude, we don't need to bring that up right now.
Lamb Before Time 24.
They're trying to make a new Lamb Before Time movie, and it looks
like a child's
nightmare.
Yeah.
it looks really bad. Like, people have compared it to the first Sonic the Hedgehog trailer.
Oh no.
Yeah.
It's a shame.
It's yeah.
We're trying to get it to go back to normal. So you said you fell asleep during this, Josh?
Yeah, I threw it up on my phone, and I was like, oh yeah, this looks kind of it's not the movie's fault, I assure you. It looked interesting. I was like, oh, I'm gonna really enjoy this.
Yeah, I think you will. I would say give it another chance when you're not riding the bus.
Yep.
And then after, come back and give us an update.
Now, for next week, we're going to have to tell Ryan about this because God knows he probably won't see it anyway. But there's a movie in theaters that one of your friends worked on.
Yeah.
And I love the story that's behind this movie because it's based on a true story.
Kung Fu Panda 4.
It's not Kung Fu Panda 4, although I do love Kung Fu Panda and would go see that. That is not the movie we were picking. It is Arthur the King.
I just saw it. It's like, oh, with the dog.
Yeah. So very, very, very pumped. You want to talk a little bit about that?
Well, so obviously, still technically animal trainer over here seasonally, but my old company that I used to work full-time for works on movies like we've talked about before. And Arthur the King is about a dog that was following a group of people through the end of a marathon. What would you call it?
Yeah. Basically, it's a really, really heavy-duty trek that they do that lasts multiple days, and this dog starts following them and basically runs the entire thing with them.
Okay.
It's
so
really cool.
It'll be cool. Obviously, it's always fun seeing animals that you know in the movies. So I think it'll be a good watch for everybody, especially since it's based on a true story. So,
man, there's some good movies out right now.
Yeah, I know.
Ghostbusters came out.
I want to see the Ghostbusters movie, and I know it hasn't been rated very well. But
I don't care. It's Paul Rudd and Ghostbusters. What could be bad about it? Immaculate, little scary Catholicism movie with...
Huh?
Oh, yeah. Sydney Sweeney stars as Cecilia, an American nun, devout faith.
What he's trying to say is immaculate.
Immaculate. Embarking on a new journey in a remote covenant in the picturesque Italian countryside, Cecilia's warm welcome quickly devolves into a nightmare as it becomes clear her new home harbors a sinister secret and unspeakable horrors.
We should wait until next week when Ryan's back. Yeah, so he has to go watch the scary movie.
I think that's a great idea.
I love that idea. I think that's perfect.
He'll never see it coming. I don't know why. I hate horror movies except for like Catholic ones.
Oh my God, dude. What's wrong with you?
Nothing was scarier than Catholic school, I guess.
I guess.
You're not wrong because I also grew up in Catholic school. So.
I did not. Backwards Church of Christ. Yeah.
Exorcism of Emily Rose. No problem.
All right. Let's go to the hot take.
Hot take!
You didn't give us one.
I didn't because this is an either or.
Yeah, I thought this was coming.
Yeah, this is an either or. So you have to pick one side or the other. And it is who wins in a 2v2 battle? The cast of Rush Hour or Bad Boys?
You're still on a Jackie Chan kick?
Yes. And I'm still picking Jackie frickin' Chan. Because, by the way, a lot of people forget about this in Rush Hour. Chris Tucker's character is a very good sharpshooter. He's very good. That's arguably the biggest thing that he brings to the table, even though he's the comedic relief. So I feel like you've got Far Away, you've got Up Close. They're not beating them because I feel like Will Smith's character is a badass, but Martin Lawrence's character,
he's the sharpshooter.
Yeah, and he had to have glasses by the last movie. He's not what he once was.
We're on Bad Boys 4
now. I'm just saying, if I got to pick between the two casts, I'm taking the Rush Hour cast over Bad Boys. Feel free to debunk me. Go.
Bear, you first. I got some stuff I got to do. Hold on.
Okay. Go ahead, Bear.
I'm trying to think of, all right, so I understand, Jackie Chan can get the up close, but what if he doesn't even get a chance to get close? What if they just, pew-pew.
Oh, my God. That's kind of the whole point of Chris Tucker's character. That's what I was explaining earlier.
Okay,
I think maybe you missed that.
Two,
so you're going Bad Boys.
You got two sharpshooters against one.
So you're going Bad Boys.
Yeah.
Okay.
All you got to do is send a pretty girl out, and Chris Tucker will get distracted.
So would Martin Lawrence and
Will Smith.
If they are these characters from these movies.
Yes.
I'm a stats guy. I like to look at
get my wife's name.
Ouch. Yo. I like to look how the matchup would go. Chris Tucker, 6'1". Will Smith, 6'2". They would probably square off. It's not going to be tall on short and short on tall. You know what I mean? Let's look. Will Smith 6'2".
I don't even care.
Martin Lawrence is 5'7". Hey, Jackie Chan's 5'6".
She's actually, you know what's funny? She's actually right. Will Smith slapped Chris Tucker.
He slapped
Chris Rock.
Chris Rock.
Aw, damn.
I was waiting for you to pick up on that.
But he's already.
If Chris Rock can take him slapping him, I'm pretty sure Chris Tucker can take it.
Just any Chris? He slapped you. I don't care.
If he slapped me, that's way different. He'd have to slap up.
Never mind. I was going to make an ABC joke. I would.
Go on, do it.
No.
Do it.
It's the moment's passed.
Dang it.
I would. Here's the thing. I have a history of Will Smith beating aliens up with his bare hands. I have a history of Will Smith chasing down aliens in Men in Black on foot.
I Am Legend. He saved the world.
Yeah, but okay. Again, that's not the same character that's in Bad Boys.
I'm just looking at stature and ability, right?
In Bad Boys, you very rarely see him get into a physical confrontation.
Sure,
it's normally
with
weapons.
But then I have to then judge Jackie Chan just on Rush Hour and not on any of his other films, in which case all he's doing is doing the splits and avoiding stuff, not necessarily being
fighting.
I mean, he gets out of handcuffs by removing the steering wheel to a car, grabs someone's pistol out of the holster, and then points it at them through the steering wheel.
While he's still in handcuffs. Second, he wouldn't be able to do that, really.
I bet you he can.
Without some Hollywood magic of that steering wheel just happened to be incredibly loose and able to.
By the way, I wonder if this is just me trying to show some love to Jackie Chan, because I remember specifically one of the times that he injured himself in that movie is he jumps into a chair and he throws his back out. And because my back is out right now, I wonder if I'm just like in solidarity with Jackie Chan. Maybe that's why.
I'll let you have that. I'm going to take Bad Boys
because
the mean streets of Miami, I think, trump whatever they're fighting.
Dude, they... What?
Yeah.
The mean streets of Miami?
Yeah. You ever been to Miami?
Yeah.
Yes.
Tough out there.
It's very tough.
Oh, my God. Okay.
Seedy underbelly.
Guys, we need to know what you think about this. Make sure you watch the movie Arthur the King this week. Thank you again for hanging out with us at the Quad with Chris Young. As always, I'm Chris. From Ryan, who's not with us today, Haley the Bear, producer Josh. Just know we love you. Thank you. Go get the album. And we're out! I have to give an extra special shout out to the guy that was in charge of running food and drinks on the plane this morning. He saw that I was obviously in pain. I told him I'd throw my back out. And he was like, every 10 minutes, you okay? Do you need anything?
Yep. He was awesome.
Shout out.
Did at any point, just before we go, did you want to build a massive chair like Dave Grohl did when he broke his leg with just like a CY and like guitars and all sorts of stuff? Like, did it cross your mind just once where you're like, that would be pretty funny?
That would be pretty funny. But again, I just kind of made a joke out of it. You got to make, lemonade out of lemons sometimes. So, yeah, again, love you guys. Thank you very much for sticking with me this week.